It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Dr. Anthony Fauci is the top U.S. infectious disease expert. Earlier this week, he proclaimed,
"We are certainly right now in this country out of the pandemic phase. Namely, we don't have 900,000 new infections a day and tens and tens and tens of thousands of hospitalizations and thousands of deaths. We are at a low level right now."
Well, after a little bit of pushback, Fauci clarified his comments on Wednesday, telling the Associated Press that the coronavirus crisis has eased since the unprecedented winter surge, but, quote, "by no means does that mean the pandemic is over." And then he clarified, "we've now decelerated and transitioned into more of a controlled phase," and added, "I probably should have said the acute component of the pandemic phase. And I understand how that can lead to some misinterpretation." Well, I can too, but it still doesn't explain why the Republicans have made him public enemy number one. In fact, the Oklahoma Republican Party chair, John Bennett, who's running for Congress, suggested in front of a crowd on Tuesday that they execute Dr. Fauci.
"We're in a war with bureaucrats that have forced vaccine mandates on us, mask mandates on us. And you know what? They're pushing this wokeness confusion down our throats now. And by the way, we should try Anthony Fauci and put him in front of a firing squad."
Wow. COVID-19 cases are trending up again, though it's not anywhere near the rise we saw over the winter with the Omicron wave. New cases and hospitalizations are going up, but fewer people are dying of COVID-19. Dr. Fauci said that although the coronavirus won't be eradicated, the level of virus in society could be kept very low if people are intermittently vaccinated. And now adding her name to the list of D.C. politicians who've contracted the virus is Maxine Waters. She says she's asymptomatic, but is taking all of the prescribed precautions. Turning to Ukraine, Russian officials are now saying that during the second phase of its invasion, they're actively trying to secure all of Ukraine's eastern regions. Putin warned on Wednesday that any country interfering in Ukraine would be met with a lightning-fast response from Moscow. This comes as Ukrainian officials said that almost the entire territory of the Luhansk region suffered shelling over the past 24 hours. And in Kherson, there had been reports that the Russians would organize some form of a referendum on whether the southern region should become an independent republic. But a Russian-appointed official said its return to Ukrainian control is, quote, impossible, and that they've ruled out a referendum to decide its future. Meanwhile, Canadian lawmakers on Wednesday voted unanimously to recognize the acts of genocide being committed by Russia in Ukraine. The Kremlin, of course, continues to deny any involvement in the mass killings of Ukrainian civilians. And UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres met with Putin on Tuesday and allegedly secured an agreement in principle that would allow an experienced team in to coordinate the evacuation of civilians that are still trapped inside of Mariupol's steel plant in that decimated city. Authorities in Southern California have imposed new and unprecedented water restrictions in response to the state's worst drought on record, now in its third year. These new rules will affect 6 million people in Los Angeles, Ventura, and San Bernardino counties. Under the order, outdoor watering is limited to one day a week, and limits on non-essential water use under penalty of fines are designed to reduce consumption by 35%. More than 95% of California is in severe or extreme drought, up from about 66% just 3 months ago. Moving east to Florida, Disney's self-governing special district, known as the Reedy Creek Improvement District, says that Ron DeSantis's plan to dissolve the district next year is not legal unless the state pays off the district's extensive debts. Reedy Creek is a special purpose district created by state law back in 1967 that gives the Walt Disney Company governmental control over the land in and around its Central Florida theme parks. With that agreement, Disney took over responsibility for providing all the municipal services, too, like power, water, roads, and fire protection. But they also didn't have to pay taxes for services that benefited the broader public. Well, Reedy Creek currently has about $1 billion in outstanding bond debt, and due to that, Reedy Creek said it expects to continue business as usual. expect the mini Trump in Tallahassee to have a few words to say about that. That probably won't make any sense, but he'll speak up anyway. So primary season is upon us, but the new maps are not. New York Supreme Court on Wednesday rejected their new congressional maps that Republicans said were unconstitutionally gerrymandered to favor Democrats. And indeed, under these maps, Democrats were expected to win 22 of the state's 26 congressional seats, up from the currently held 19. New York's Court of Appeals said that the state's Democratic-led legislature, which redrew the maps after an independent redistricting commission failed to reach a consensus, violated a state constitutional amendment against political influence in redistricting. The ruling said that a court-appointed special master should handle the job to guarantee fairness. So that decision, along with what happened here in Florida, who adopted maps heavily favoring Republicans, will likely hurt Democrats' national redistricting push to counter maps favoring Republicans in Republican-led states. But isn't it interesting that the courts in those Republican-controlled states are backing up their heavily gerrymandered maps, while the courts in the states that Democrats control are rejecting theirs? Just saying. And just when you thought you had heard it all regarding the former guy, here comes a tomato to smack you upside the head. Or maybe a deadly pineapple or banana? Transcripts from a deposition the former guy sat for in 2019 over a lawsuit from protesters injured by Trump's security personnel were released on Wednesday. Rachel Maddow offered a dramatic reading of some of Trump's testimony.
Mr. President, you said, if you see someone getting ready to throw a tomato, just knock the crap out of them, would you? That was your statement? Answer, Trump. Oh, yeah, it was very dangerous. Question, what was very dangerous? Answer, Trump. We were threatened. Question, with what? Answer, Trump. They were going to throw fruit. We were threatened. We had a threat. Question, we were told, I thought the Secret Service was involved in that, actually, but we were told, and you get hit with fruit, it's very violent stuff. We were on alert for that. It's worse than tomato. It's other things also. But tomato, when they start doing that stuff, it's very dangerous. A tomato, a pineapple, a lot of other things they throw. Yeah, I think that they have to be aggressive in stopping that from happening. Because if that happens, you can be killed if that happens.
Uh-huh. And finally, this term of the Supreme Court wrapped up on Wednesday. Justice Stephen Breyer taking part in his last scheduled oral argument of his nearly 28-year tenure on the court. His final case dealt with a clash between Oklahoma and tribal authorities over the ability to prosecute crimes between non-Native American defendants and Native American victims. Chief Justice John Roberts paid tribute to Breyer and actually teared up as he spoke.
And now, as many of you may know, Justice Breyer has announced his retirement from the court, effective when we rise for the summer recess. That means that the oral argument we have just concluded is the last the court will hear with Justice Breyer on the bench. For 28 years, this has been his arena for remarks profound and moving, questions challenging and insightful, and hypotheticals downright silly. This sitting alone has brought us radioactive muskrats and John the Tiger Man. Now, at the appropriate time, we will, in accordance with tradition and practice, read and enter into the record an exchange of letters between the court and Justice Breyer, marking his retirement. For now, we leave the courtroom with deep appreciation for the privilege of sharing this bench with him.
Bye, Justice Breyer. Thanks for the memories. Now bring on Ketanji Brown Jackson, please. I got the news. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.